This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Please stay tuned following the program for information on ordering tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon. We thank you for joining us today and invite you to tune in every Sunday for worship with us.
One of the best tips on preaching that I ever received came from an old professor who didn't even teach preaching. But he said to the students repeatedly, "You have to know your audience." I ask you, do you believe that the church today is addressing your real needs? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will speak to us now through your word, and that we may communicate your message to those who listen. Grant, O God, that they may see Christ crucified and risen, the one who came to take away the sins of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends in Christ,
One of the best tips that I have ever received on preaching came from an old professor at the seminary who didn't even teach preaching, but he would say to his students in the class, "You have to know your audience. You have to know your congregation." And he would plead with us, for he had been a very successful himself before he came to the seminary, that it was so terribly important to get into the homes of the members of the congregation, see where they lived, understand their hurts, expound on their joys and the successes that they had had, but to know them. I found that to be very, very true. The better you know your audience, the better you can communicate with them. For how else can we tell them the necessary things from God's holy word unless we really know where they stand? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ knew his audience. There was no question about that. And that is what is recorded in our text for today. Let me read to you a few verses from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. It begins with verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Jesus wanted them to know their audience. And so as he went through these towns and saw all of the tragedies there as well as the joys, he was attracted to the people. And he drew great crowds of people, for they loved to hear him preach. He taught as one who had great authority. As he looked into their faces, he thought, "This is God's great creation." And in his intentional will, God had planned to live in complete fellowship with those he had created, and they were to be his forever and ever. But then sin came into the world, and sin separated them from their creator. And so Jesus describes a person who is walking on this earth without a relationship with God as sheep without a shepherd. They are helpless. They're on their way somewhere, but they're not quite sure where. And you can say, now that is not a true expression. There are a lot of people in our day who have their heads on straight. They know where they're going. They're not helpless. They can take care of themselves. Well, friend, there are all kinds of people in this world, and many of them might give that impression, that they really have put it all together and there are no burdens in their soul. But I think we'll find that as we observe the crowds, there are the rich and the poor. There are the old and the young. There are the pious and the outcast. There are the healthy and the sick. They're all in the crowd. And each one has his burdens. But there are other things which we'll discuss just in a bit that they need to hear about too. So that's what makes a crowd so interesting. I love a crowd. And if I can keep my cool to be a part of the crowd and understand their behavior, it is a real study in human nature. If the game is not too good, just begin to follow and to study the crowd and to see the natural reactions, good and bad. I'll begin with the bad. I see in a crowd of people at an athletic event some who are terribly selfish. They're rather obnoxious in what they shout out and holler and the language that they use. It can almost be maddening. Yeah, that's selfish, that's to be sure. It begins to rain, and up comes the umbrellas. They don't care whether you can see home plate and what's happening there or not, just as long as they are free from the rain and they can see themselves. That's a crowd. They're rather selfish, aren't they? But boy, on the other hand, I see the good, too. I see how the handicapped, at least in most cases where I have been the one observing, has been treated so well. How people will simply stop and let them move on. How they will see to it that they get the best of care. And I know that there's something there that really causes these people to say, "Oh God, if it were not for that grace, I would be there too. And so let me help them." It's a wonderful experience to see. The crowd is tremendously interesting. And one of the crowds that I have been interested very much so in is the crowd that gathers on Sunday morning that is known as the congregation. Believe me, there are all kinds of people there too. They are the young and the old. They are the wealthy and the poor. They are the educated and the uneducated. They are the believers and the unbelievers. That's right, unbelievers. You mean that they're in church? Why would they be there? They wouldn't want to come, would they? I hope there are many unbelievers there on a Sunday morning. I pray that our people have been zealous and reaching out to them and say, "Come and listen. There's something in our church that I want you to hear. I want you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come, will you?" And then one Sunday they come. That's what the church is all about. For you see, we don't have finance. We don't have age. We don't even have Christian conviction, one exactly like the other. But we all have one basic need. And that basic need is a relationship with God, which can come only through Jesus Christ and a personal faith in Him. Friends, we are all sinners. We may do some nice things. We may be a nice person in the eyes of the world, but we are all sinners. And therefore, that sin brings us to a place of tremendous need. Therefore, I repeat that we need to know our audience, and we need to let these people know that we know who they are. Just because they were sinners, and just because they didn't always act the way He wanted them to act, didn't mean that Jesus didn't want to have anything to do with them. Jesus loved them, even though they were selfish and jealous and angry and hateful and all the rest. He still loved them, and He hurt for them. So the Bible says that He healed all the sicknesses as He went through their towns and their villages. He healed the sick, the paralytic, the blind, the mute, the leper. He healed all those who were hurting, who had terrific burdens and worries and wondered what the future held for them. Did you ever read that little story? I hope you did. If you didn't, go to the 7th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke and read about the widow of Nain. She had lost her only son. And on the day that they were taking his corpse out to the cemetery as she came by with a part of the funeral procession, and Jesus was there. And he inquired, "What's happened? What's the cause of all of this?" And then he learned that it was her only son that she was going to lay to rest. And he came up to her and talked to her, and she explained it all. And then they went to the body and raised it, restoring life once again, for that was a special power that God had given to him. But it's just another example of how he had compassion on all of those who were hurting. But you notice that it says that he went into the synagogues and he began to teach them. What do you think he was teaching them? He was teaching them that God had sent him into the world to be the Messiah. He had to die for the sins of the world. And so one day, and it wouldn't be long, he would have to go up to Calvary, and there he would suffer and die for the sins of mankind. But on the third day, he would be raised again, and full atonement will have been made for the sins of the entire world. And then it was to be offered to all people, and those who by the grace of God receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord would have an entirely different life. He wanted them to know that they could hear from him one day when their guilt was driving them crazy. "Look, if you believe in me, you can lay your sins on Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. You can start all over." How many times have we not had that said to us? Your sins are forgiven. When your heart is burdened, and you don't know which way to turn, life is heavy, you hear Jesus saying when you're in a living relationship with him, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You hear him as he says to the prophet Isaiah, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." This is our Savior. He wants to come to us in our troubled moments. But to know a Savior like that, you have to receive him. He knows where you are. He knows his audience. And he's just waiting for you, empowered by the Holy Spirit alone, to say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come into my heart." I can tell you this is real. This is not preacher's talk. And if you'll pardon a personal reference, it's nearly a month ago now that one Saturday afternoon, just before we were getting ready to go out and have dinner with some friends, that my wife had some kind of a spell. And it sounded and seemed to me just like we experienced 13 years ago when she had her stroke. And I thought, "Oh God, is this another stroke?" And so when it continued, I called 911 and the ambulance came, loaded her in the ambulance, and we started off for the hospital. I drove behind the ambulance. And while I drove there alone, I opened my heart to God. And I said, "Lord, you have given us the grace during these past 13 years to deal with the results of that stroke. We have been blessed in every way, and they have been glorious days. But God, I pray, let us not have another stroke. If it be another stroke, then please put your hand of healing upon her. Selfishly, that's my request. But if that can't be, oh God, rather than to cause her any more pain, then take her home to be with you, for she is your child. She trusts you as Savior and Lord." And then, friend, while I was emotional, here was a steady voice of God, not coming out of thin air, but coming from the Word of God as it is recorded in the prophet Isaiah. "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And we went on to the hospital. And she spent some time there. And the diagnosis was made. And the treatment was given. And it was some other affliction. So at least we have one another for a little while longer. But we know inevitably when that day comes, not because of any goodness within us, but because Jesus Christ has suffered and died and made us his, and he has said, I know my audience and I minister to you to strengthen you while you're here and to be with you when you die. We can live with the assurance that Jesus Christ is ours. We need to know the audience. And so our Lord said to the disciples, you know, it is a difficult time. For it is true that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So you ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers into his harvest. Except for the Lord's Prayer, Jesus did not often tell people what to pray. But here he was asking for workers in the kingdom. That is, people who would go out and touch the hearts and the minds and the souls of those who were burdened. Sure, it means to go to the sick. Of course it means to go to the needy. Of course it means to go to those who are hurting in any way, suffering from injustice and whatever else it may be. We do not belittle that at all, and I applaud the church for what it is doing. But it is also to tell the story of Jesus. For man without God is like a sheep without a shepherd. We in the church need to know our audience. Not everyone who sits there on Sunday morning, nor everyone who we talk with during the week, is in a living relationship with Jesus Christ. Their greatest need needs to be ministered to, and that is to tell them the story of Jesus. To ask the question, where do you stand in relationship to Christ? And don't think that that is not your need to know that. It is, for you are concerned about the souls of that person if you know your audience. You'll want to talk to him about it. Amen.
Tell the old story of Jesus.
Our Heavenly Father, help us to understand that you know us far better than we know ourselves. Show us, O Lord, that your word is there in order to comfort us and to counsel us along life's way. And so for those who are filled with guilt and burdens, whatever else it might be, that you will hear as they come to that throne of grace, that they may hear your sins are forgiven, and that they may hear, I walk with you. Bless those, O God, who are in a very difficult situation today, some who are ill, some who mourn the loss of their loved ones, some who are mentally disturbed, whatever the situation may be, grant that they may find that peace which passes all understanding in walking personally with you. This is our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We hope today's sermon will guide you spiritually in the week to come. Christian Crusaders invite you to honor the memory of someone close to you with a memorial gift to our ministry. This type of gift is a great way to help spread the message of the gospel while at the same time paying tribute to a loved one who has passed away. Call 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484 for more information. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter with a special feature written by our speaker, Reverend Homer Larson, and our associate speaker, Reverend Steve Kramer. Call or email our office to join our mailing list today. If you would like a cassette, tape, CD, or printed copy of today's sermon, please write to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. You may also call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Hundreds of archived sermons are also available on our website at christiancrusaders.org. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson conducted our service today. Christian Crusaders, now in its 72nd year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting, has been broadcasting biblical truth since 1936.